From time to time during the year, Father DiMartino and I put our thinking caps on together, and we decide, usually at his initiative, on a certain topic to preach upon in lieu of perhaps a circumstance in society or legislation that could affect the life of the church as we as Catholics, or just things related to the ordinary practice of the Catholic faith for the ordinary person in the pew. And it fits in nicely today with our gospel, especially as we get ready for the Lenten season. And so this morning, throughout our various homilies in our own different ways, Father and I are going to be concentrating on this notion of Eucharistic dispositions and preparedness in receiving our Lord at Mass. But let's back up for a second and begin with the gospel. If I could use one word to describe what our Lord is talking about this morning in our gospel, it would simply be one word: disconnectivity. In the gospel, you notice there's a disconnect between people who cry out, "Lord, Lord," but apparently in God's eyes don't live a life consistent with their plea. So they'll even say at the end of time of judgment, "Lord, did we not drive out demons in your name, perform mighty works in your name? Did we not act in your name?" And our Lord's response to them is very cold, harsh. "I did not even know you. Depart from me, you evildoers." So there seems to be a disconnect between people who claim to have some relationship with Jesus or claim some friendship with him, but whose actions do not really measure up. So then our Lord further explains by using this metaphor of the man who builds his house on solid rock. Right? He says, he listens to my words and acts on them. He says, this is like the man who builds his house on a solid foundation. Right? The rains came, the winds blew. The house was really, in a way, assaulted by these natural elements, but it withstood. The fool is the person for whom the winds came, the winds and the rain came, but the house was built on sand, and therefore it was completely ruined, and collapsed. So there seems to be a disconnectivity, if you notice in our gospel today, that our Lord is talking about here, between merely just claiming religious faith, right? And this is really a very, very sobering call for us, because, I mean, if this is true for those who even claim any faith, what more for those who don't claim any faith in Christ? I mean, it's sometimes interesting when you read the gospel, sometimes our Lord's most challenging words are issued not to the unbelievers, but to his own disciples. He understands that people who are along the path of discipleship are capable of hearing this word and entering more deeply into relationship with him. So, we have two forms of disconnectivity in our gospel today. Those who cry out in his name, but do not live a life of faith and good works. And then the metaphor of the house that is buffeted by the winds and the rains that falls apart. They come to ruin as well. So I want to propose, in lieu of our desire at the rectory to have homilies in common, I want to propose a third kind of disconnectivity that we can observe very readily in the church today. And that is the disconnectivity between receiving the Eucharist and being properly disposed to do so. Now, this has many, many sources. For example, in his pontificate of many years, John Paul II described and decried with a sense of deep sorrow that as he progressed through his life, even living in a very, very Catholic country like Poland, but then becoming a priest and then living in Rome and then spending many years there as Pope, he noticed that there was an increasing lack in a sense of sin. In other words, activity, behaviors, dispositions that once used to be considered sinful, for many people had lost that edge, that sense of, this is wrong. We shouldn't be doing this. This is somehow not consistent with God's plan. And John Paul II noticed the slow erosion of this sense of sin. So therefore, there is an increasing disconnectivity between the length of the confession lines and the length of the communion lines. Some of you grew up in times where you noticed that many people went to confession regularly, and fewer people went to communion because of the sense that, well, I might not be disposed. Maybe I shouldn't receive. I have a doubt as to the state of my soul. Now, without going into scrupulosity on these matters, there was, in a sense, a more proper sense of should I go forward or not. But one of the things that's happened in Catholic life, unfortunately, due to the influence of our Protestant brothers and sisters, is we had something developed in our churches called pews. Now you say, what's the matter with pews? The problem is that when there are pews, there are usually ushers, whom we love very much. But then they start filing down the aisle and start lining up people. Okay, your turn to go, your turn to go. And if you don't get a communion, you feel like a leper. Because you're remaining sitting in your pew, right? It's tough. Okay. So, it's funny, right? Because in yesteryear, those of you remember when we had communion rails, people just used to come up for communion somewhat randomly. Right? We wouldn't, you know, just get in line. You came up when you were ready to come up. This is very still much the case in Europe, which is actually refreshing. Unfortunately, not many people go to Mass there at all. But the idea here is that no one paid attention to who was going to communion and who was not. So this sense of shame, even though, for example, you had accidentally scarfed down a donut on the way to church, and that's the reason why you weren't going to communion, people say, sinner. You see? So it's just all these lines started forming. Okay. Lines are not very Catholic. Okay, it's very American, but not very Catholic. Okay? We're more like just swarming. Okay. If you look at the rest of the world. Okay. Now, even the manner in which people receive today behooves us to take pause. You know, not many parishes have this, but I'm glad we do in our parish, and our ushers participate in this, is we have Eucharistic guards now at the corners here. You'll notice them. I'm sure you see them. And they're checking to see whether or not people who receive communion on the hand are walking away with the Eucharist. Profanations of the Eucharist have been a big problem here. I've found the Eucharist under the seats in the choir area. A few weeks ago, we found the Eucharist in the playground, under pews, in missalettes. Right? This is less of a problem when people receive communion on the tongue, because once the Holy Eucharist was received, it already began to dissolve. By the time someone got back to their pew, it was practically consumed. But with this custom of receiving communion in the hand, which of course still remains a legitimate option in the church, but is often not practiced correctly, people drop the Eucharist more frequently when they receive on the hand than on the tongue, or they receive without care. Sometimes the Eucharist gets broken on someone's hand because of just another set of fingers and hands handling. Lots of profanations occur. In your bulletins this week, there is an excerpt from a document written by Pope Benedict on the Blessed Sacrament and the practice of receiving communion in the hand. If you normally don't take a bulletin, I invite you to do so and read it. I think it's worth noting what the Holy Father himself has to say on this matter. Then, of course, there's a more serious problem, and that is people who receive Holy Communion who should not, because they are living in a state of mortal sin. Is this a new problem? Not at all. Listen to St. Paul writing in the first century of the church's life. This is from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 to 29. This is what St. Paul says. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment upon himself. Not a new problem at all. A very ancient problem in the church. St. Paul himself was dealing with Corinthians, people who lived in the city of Corinth, who were living a disconnected life between whether or not they should receive or whether or not they should refrain. So, practically speaking for ourselves here at the parish as we approach the Lenten season, it's important for us to be mindful of several dispositions which we'll actually be able to put into practice on this Ash Wednesday. The first is that if you are not in the habit of doing so, I would invite you, Father and I would invite you, to get into the habit of making reparation for sacrilegious communions as the intention for when you receive communion yourself. In other words, when you receive communion, you would offer that reception of Holy Communion in reparation for sacrileges against the blessed sacraments, profanations. And trust me, from the number of hosts I have found in missalettes and in pews and in the playground, we have plenty of reasons already, not to mention people's own personal state of sin. The second, of course, is the pious custom of refraining from receiving the Eucharist and making a spiritual communion also in reparation for sacrileges, even ones perhaps you have committed yourself in past years or in past moments. You know, I remember as a college student, this hit me immensely. I was in that category of those claiming Lord, Lord, but not always living a life commensurate with the gospel. You'd go straight from fraternity row on Saturday night to Sunday morning mass at the parish, never through the grill of a confessional, which should have been happening. And so I began to wonder, why do I even go to mass? Is it because my parents will withhold tuition funding if they find out I don't? That's not a good enough reason. I've got to own it for myself. And personally, even after college, as I began to reflect on my life of faith, I began spending more time, not of course knowing at the time that it would lead to me discerning a vocation to the priesthood, but I would spend more and more time in the perpetual adoration chapel of my home parish, St. Michael's in Annandale. We've had perpetual adoration there for nearly 30 years. One generation of Catholics in that parish have had the benefit of having access to the Blessed Sacrament to come and adore our Blessed Lord, Eucharistically present and exposed in a monstrance in a small chapel that only probably sits about 10 or 12 people. And in a stretch of 25 years, we counted recently, 20 vocations to the priesthood and religious life have come from my little parish. It's rare for me to go anywhere in this diocese and meet a priest who did not come from my parish. And we all talk about that little chapel, that little dynamo of power in our parish, because as I was asserting the vocation to the priesthood, occasionally I would see other young men and women also there, and years later see them in religious habits of religious orders, or in Roman collars as we all entered into the seminary. The practical engagement of the Eucharist and its profanation bothers our bishop immensely. In fact, to this end, for confirmations in many places now, Bishop Laverde will not celebrate confirmation masses. He will simply celebrate a liturgy of the word, and then the sacrament of confirmation to follow the homily, for fear of exposing the people of God who are not disposed to receiving the Eucharist from receiving the Eucharist in an unworthy manner. Now, some are angered by this, because they say, Father, but what about the faithful families? We're being penalized. You're not being penalized if you offer up a spiritual communion reparation for those who need to return back to the faith. That is very pleasing to our Lord. And so, in this week, Ash Wednesday is, by the way, this Wednesday, what we are offering here at the parish is very simple. Very similar to what the bishop is doing with confirmations, taking his leave. We will have Mass with the distribution of ashes at 7:30 and 9 in the morning. Like our normal morning schedule, usually on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we're mirroring it on Wednesdays for Ash Wednesday. Mass and ashes, 7:30 and 9. For those who come to Mass, in the evening, we have an evening schedule. We also have it at noon, and I believe it's at 6 or 6:30. You can check the bulletin at 8. Liturgy of the Word, distribution of ashes, period. People say, but Father, isn't Ash Wednesday a holy day of obligation? Nope. Never been a holy day of obligation. Yet next Saturday, I cannot tell you how many people will confess, I miss Ash Wednesday Mass. It's the phenomenon in the church of getting stuck. Ashes on Ash Wednesday, palms on Palm Sunday, and then top it off with Easter Sunday Mass. It's a big triumvirate of the non-practicing Catholics. And when I was in consulting, we'd go to conventions. Some of you probably still do this for your jobs. And we had this term called swag. Stuff we all get. And it's the stickies and the magnets and the pens. You know what I'm talking about that you get at these conventions. You know, every vendor is trying to promote their wares. It's fine. You know, it's good marketing. And you get a little baggie. Right? And some people would go down to the convention room floor completely disinterested in whatever they were showing, but they wanted to bring home, you know, to their kids, to their nephews, to their nieces, all right, swag. Okay? Very good. It's what happens in the church. Ashes, palms, stuff. So I'm getting, coming to church to get my stuff. But one of the things that's stuff that people are also getting, that they should not be getting, is Jesus in the Eucharist. And Father and I will not let that happen. Because it is offering people an opportunity to receive communion sacrilegiously when they should not be receiving Holy Communion at all. Now, if you say, well, I'd like to receive communion on that day, good. Come to Mass here, go to Mass wherever you like. But consider coming here anyway, in the evening or at noon, and making a spiritual communion, saying in the depths of your heart, my Lord and my God, I believe that you are truly here, that you see me, that you hear me, that you listen to my prayers to the very depths of my heart. I wish to receive you with the fervor and the piety of the saints. I offer this spiritual communion in union with the whole church in reparation for those who ought not to receive you but do, and those who profane your most blessed sacrament. So it's important for us then to be mindful of these practices of Eucharistic devotion This kind of Eucharistic piety, when it's authentic, closes the disconnect between reception of the Eucharist and the necessary dispositions to do so properly. So, we ask that you join us in solidarity this week on this Ash Wednesday as we begin this season of penance, not only bringing to mind the various resolutions that we have during this holy season of Lent, but also to be mindful of our need to be more Eucharistically conscious in an age where there is such a lack of regard for receiving our Lord in a proper way. Let us pray today also for all those who during the Lenten season who are not practicing the Catholic faith, that they might be moved to return to the sacraments, first of penance, and then of the Eucharist, so that we may celebrate this Easter with greater joy than ever. O Mary, conceived without sin. Amen.